Hey, babes, and welcome back to your midweek miracle episode of Bite-Sized Blessings. Earlier this week, I went to get my hair cut, and while sitting in the chair, I started talking to my hairstylist about the episode that I was producing this week. And it was about June, my guest, and all that she's experienced. And my hairdresser, she stepped back for a second and she said quietly, "You know, I've seen people in my bedroom and in the house ever since I was a kid." And she said, "My mom has too, so it definitely runs in my family." And so we had a little conversation about it, and I thought to myself, wow, I can't believe she told me this. And it made me think just how many people are walking around and can see spirits or experience the world in a way that most can't. I would have never known about my hairdresser's experience except that I brought it up. And it makes me think that there are a lot more people who are sensitive in one way or another and open to a whole lot more that most of us take for granted. Which brings me to my guest this week, June Edward, who's a lifelong entrepreneur with a family history of psychic abilities. For example, her mother was a medium. And as I read more about these mediumistic qualities in people, they do tend to run in families, almost like a hereditary gift. June has a super groovy website, and there will be a link to that website in the episode show notes. And as well in this episode, we talk about her relationship mastery program that she's created. And she kind of does a deep dive into that a little bit later in the episode. Emily Dickinson said, "People need hard times and oppression to develop psychic muscles." And as you'll hear in this episode, June absolutely had her hard times and suffered great oppression, because that does seem to be kind of a theme for those who claim to be psychic. So now, without further ado, my interview with June Edward.
I put the surgery off as long as I could because I just knew I was going to die. I knew it. And even before I went in, I'm telling them, "Listen, I know I'm going to die." And they're like, "Oh, you're just afraid. You'll be fine, blah, blah, blah." So the night before the surgery, they did an MRI with a contrast dye. And I told them that I thought I was allergic to it because I'd had it once before and had an extreme reaction to it. I couldn't get off the table for hours. And they're like, "It's normal. It happens to everybody." What do I know, right? I'm 27 and I'm not the doctor. So as soon as they administered it, I immediately coded. I died. And I was just, boom, I was immediately taken to the lowest level of heaven. And I could see everything that was happening below, not just to me and my body. I could see what was happening, you know, in other areas of the hospital. And I was getting a life review, which apparently I never called it an NDE, a near-death experience. I never even heard the term for years. All I knew was I died. And scientists coined that term because they haven't been able to quantify it yet. So when they can, they'll change the term.
When I was reading the excerpt that you sent me, and we don't have to talk about this, but you brought it up earlier in the podcast, and I just wanted to kind of understand what happened when you went to the hospital, and you were, I think you were 27 years old?
I was 27, yeah. I had injured my back when I was 22. And when I was 27, I had two children. I wanted to have a third, and they told me I had to have the surgery or they'd be picking pieces of my back out of my, you know, my back. So I put the surgery off as long as I could because I just knew I was going to die. I knew it. And even before I went in, I'm telling them, "Listen, I know I'm going to die." And they're like, "Oh, you're just afraid. You'll be fine, blah, blah, blah." So the night before the surgery, they did an MRI with a contrast dye. And I told them that I thought I was allergic to it because I'd had it once before and had an extreme reaction to it. I couldn't get off the table for hours. And they're like, "It's normal. It happens to everybody." What do I know, right? I'm 27 and I'm not the doctor. So as soon as they administered it, I immediately coded. I died. And I was just, boom, I was immediately taken to the lowest level of heaven. And I could see everything that was happening below, not just to me and my body. I could see what was happening, you know, in other areas of the hospital. And I was getting a life review, which apparently I never called it an NDE, a near-death experience. I never even heard the term for years. All I knew was I died. And scientists coined that term because they haven't been able to quantify it yet. So when they can, they'll change the term. But less than 10% apparently of people that have an NDE actually get a life review. And it's like sitting in the front row of an IMAX theater. And the only thing they're showing me were the wonderful times I had in my life. And I had a very difficult life up to that point, to be honest with you. But they were showing me the people that actually had shown me some type of love or caring and the happy moments in my life, all of those things. And that's when they told me, you know, it wasn't really my time. It was basically an out that I had written into my life plan. I could have taken it if I wanted to. I could stay if I wanted to, or I could come back. It was my choice. And then when I remembered my two children, and I knew that one of my biggest reasons for coming here was for them, because they bring me so much joy. And I know I was here to help and navigate them. As soon as I made that decision, I was back in my body immediately.
Well, that's terrifying. I can't stand the medical profession not listening to patients.
But it happens. I mean, again, it's pre-planned. I knew for 5 years I was going to die if I went in for that. I knew it. Your soul knows. It's always giving you a heads up. And it wasn't terrifying. I mean, I have to go in for more surgeries. I'm not terrified. I trust. I know. I mean, I do my due diligence to make sure that I've chosen the most competent physician to be able to do the job. But quite honestly, it's going to really go the way it's supposed to go for the most part. It really, truly is. And it wasn't terrifying in any way. It was absolutely amazing on the other side. You know, I used to say that the two things you take with you were knowledge and love, but I've now changed that because I've brought so many people through from the other side that is still angry, sad. You take all your feelings with you. You take your knowledge and you access the knowledge of all your lifetimes once you get there, but you take all of your feelings with you when you get there.
I was just thinking about, I don't know, kind of your powers being a little bit like a superpower. And I think you've done such a gorgeous...
That's my joke. My superpower is I talk to dead people.
It's so very interesting what people consider to be psychic or mediumistic abilities, but I found an article on Oprah.com that is titled, Four Signs You Might Be Psychic. Now, I do feel that almost all of us can listen to our gut, and we have this inborn instinct that we use to navigate the world. But here are some other signs that might encourage you to understand that you might have a different way of seeing the world. Number one is 2 glasses of wine makes you more insightful. And it kind of suggests the idea that having a little bit of alcohol relaxes you and can maybe help you to understand that there are different solutions to issues that you're having in your life. Maybe it helps you find out other solutions for other people, for friends who are having problems. So that's number one. Number two, it says your new friend looks blue or red. And this kind of is the suggestion that psychics perceive people differently. So when they meet them, maybe they sense them in another way. And it says this is often because psychics experience synesthesia, a condition in which senses are swapped. So maybe you meet someone and you think, gosh, they remind me of a daffodil, or wow, that person, they're kind of like this brown color. That might be a sign that you're psychic. And then, of course, I've already talked about number three, your gut has saved your life. And that's basically using your gut and your intuition to making decisions in the world. And then number four, which seems to happen to me, your dreams seep into your waking life in surprising ways. Have you ever had a dream that later came true, or a dream that helped you solve a problem? Well, then you might be psychic. Or perhaps it runs in your family and you already know all this. But I do think it's worth it considering that there are probably lots of people out there experiencing the world in magical and miraculous ways. I need to thank my guest, June Edward, for telling her story this week. And I'm going to provide a link to her website in the episode show notes. Also, make sure not to miss in the episode show notes this week a special little link to something that I consider beautiful. I've decided to foster beauty in however many ways that I can. I'd like to thank all of you for listening and ask that if you would consider leaving a rating or writing a little review. And remember, please do share the podcast with friends. I'd just love it if more people were listening and understanding that there's so much beauty in this life. Thank you for listening. And here's my one request. Be like June. Be unstoppable. With everything that she faced and everything that she engaged with, everything that she had to work through, she went ahead and she just did it. So whatever problems you're facing in your life, whatever challenges are coming up, be like June and be unstoppable and understand that it's up to you to change your own world.